History of enterprise solutions. The late 1980s saw the enterprise solutions moving from open architecture, and it actually, so we spoke about the proprietary systems on which the earlier applications were based, and then it got translated into MRP1 and MRP2. That was in the 60s and the 70s. And then in the late 80s, these solutions went on to becoming a standard solution. So these were promoted as OSI, Open System Interface. And some of the IT folks who are listening to this can relate to the OSI models or the OSI layers. These are the 7 layers in the OSI model that were developed. So the OSI model, it helps to develop the multi servers and the multi desktops. What this gave way to was lesser dependency on the proprietary systems, and there were the homogeneous systems that were really developed. But then establishing compatibility of data between the systems always remained a challenge. There were disparate systems. Although now one system was standard based, but then there are multiple other systems that are working in the background. So then to build a connection between them on the compatibility of the data was really a challenge. And the data needs, how these standards were really addressed, they were addressed by harmonizing through the ISOs. Now we all understand what the International Standard Organization is, right? So the International Standard Organization is a body that standardizes the different protocols, the different ways in which a data has to propagate from one system to another. So that's nothing but a protocol. So the necessary internal modifications were made, the development tools were then created, and the database restructuring and the interfaces were defined. This helps the subsequent interfaces to work on a standard based approach and no longer a priority or a proprietary system. So it was indeed a real standardized solution which was developed by the OSI and the ISO. But the system performance was really slow. Now what really happened is when the different standards were made and the different protocols were followed, the systems got really slow. Why it got slow? Because the amount of data that had to be processed, it was all standard based. And those standard based data processing got really heavy. This included some CPU intensive workloads, and so the system became slow. So it's very simple, right? So say for example, if I have to run something, say run an application on my phone, it runs quickly in the first stage, but then the moment the compute gets intensive or you store a lot of files and then on top of that you run some application, it becomes slow. So then what is the real answer to that? The real answer is to have a better processor, one more processor who can do the job of the first processor, and you can have the queries that are run to processor 1 and processor 2, so that both the servers process your query and give you the output. And the same thing was developed here. So when the system performance was slow, high availability systems were designed. The business centric or the organization centric was workload then started working really successfully. Okay, so the new era brought into MIS. Now MIS, you would have all heard the term Management Information System, and EIS, that is the Executive Information System. There are a lot of reports that are MIS based. Probably if you have had a bit of industry experience, then you would have known everyone cribs about the MIS reports. In fact, there are a lot of jobs which are there in MIS. So MIS reporting, MIS planning. So you would see the term MIS being used very widely in the industry even right now. But then what really happens is that MIS again is a system that functions in its own silos. And this is what really happened. So the statements and the reports are generated by each and every department, but then they do not have any linkages in between them. So as the slide says that the material planning department had never matched it from the stores. Just to give you a very simple example. So let us take an example of automobile company. If my shop floor, the demand that I get on the shop floor, if it makes a car, and if that car then goes to the inventory, correct? The output of the shop floor, if it does not tally with the input of the inventory, then that system is of no value. And finally, when that car is sent to a dealer, that means it's done as an outward entry in my ledger or in my books of account. But then the outward entry or the inventory department, if it has its own set of reporting, the shop floor has its own set of reporting, the finance, which actually gives the raw materials to the shop floor, if it has its own set of reporting without any connections in between them, then that system does not really fit well, right? And that is the entire blunder of a MIS system. What really happened was the orders were booked, the money were collected, the goods dispatched, but then it was not really linked together. So in order to have the cohesiveness of information at the different functional levels, the most simplest thing was the use of a spreadsheet and a word processor. But you cannot really scale up, right? You can actually have the details that are mentioned in Excel. You can keep them as long as you have a small business. But then the moment you scale up, it's very difficult to maintain the Excels and the spreadsheets. So what really needs is that you need a proper system, say something like a tally system, which could have maintain all the records of the different vendors, suppliers, goods that are coming in, goods that are going out. And that is the primary function of a IT organization. Okay, now we spoke about the 1960s, the 1970s, the 1980s. We spoke about the MIS systems which are currently used, which is a sad state of affair. And then we came across the Y2K. You know, Y2K was the 2000 era where the different ERP systems were then rolled out. So the ERP systems such as SAP, Oracle, and I'll take you through those ERP systems. So at a high level, what does a ERP system do? The ERP system is a system which integrates the different modules in an organization. What do I really mean? You say, Anuj, I didn't understand that. Okay. Again, let us take an example of our good old car manufacturer, say Maruti, right? For Maruti to function as India's largest four-wheeler company, what is really needed is a robust system which can span across the different processes. So say there is one process which would forecast the demand in the market. That demand has to get translated in terms of getting an inventory. So getting the final car manufactured. So what does that mean? I have a demand for 100 cars. Now that demand has to translate into an end product. So my finance has to sanction certain budgets. That budgets are then sent to my SCM team, that is a supply chain management, who would actually procure those equipments or the raw material for me. That raw material would go to a shop floor, then the car gets manufactured. The manufactured car goes to the inventory, then it goes to the dealer, and then it is sold. So what has really happened is that all my different functions, my demand planning, my marketing function, my sales function, my finance function, the shop floor, so my supply chain, logistics, so everything has worked together because it's an automated tool for me now, and that is the real heart of any ERP solution. Okay, so the current ERP solutions incorporate SOA and the middleware architecture, and I'll take you through those when we look at the ERP system in more detail. And it can integrate with the different legacy applications. We spoke about the different facets of the company IT landscape, the different proprietary systems, the third-party applications. So the ERP has to integrate with everything and bring together a harmonized platform. And I already spoke about how were the ERP translated into what the ERP is today, right? So earlier we had the MRP which got translated into the ERP, and the how ERP forms a heart of any enterprise function through the tiered architecture. And I'll take you through the LAN and WAN networks that are mentioned on this slide. We'll have a pictorial representation, so which will, you know, really help you to understand the concepts better. Okay, so we spoke about the enterprise solutions, but then when the systems are really developed, you can have the enterprise systems which are located in one of the zones or one of the data centers, as they call it. So data center is nothing but a heart of any organization where all the data resides. Where the data resides, it's data center. It's as simple as that. But then along with data center, there also has to be one more place where the data has to be backed up, right? So if my data center goes down for any reason, say if there are floods or if there is a power outage or if there is a fire in the data center, then there has to be one more center through which the data can be accessed, right? And that is called as a disaster recovery center. We call it the DR. Right, so the DC and the DR forms another part of the enterprise solution. So you are seeing now, so we spoke about the early homegrown applications. I touched upon the web app and DB as the important parts of a IT system. We had kind of a detailed look at what the ERP does. And now we are just slowly getting into the IT infrastructure space with the DC and the DR. Right. And the subsequent sections will actually dive deep into what are the different building blocks of our organization. Okay, so the ERP solutions deal with the problem of providing information to both the clients as well as the end users, and it has to deal with the different databases and the different applications, which are the middleware, and the different programming languages to get the code from the database. So the enterprise solutions have the following characteristics. One, it has to be a well-architected system. What do I mean by that? Is that a system, it has to be designed so that all the facets are really covered. There shouldn't be any system which is left out. Second is, it has to be highly secure. Now, security is the key everywhere, right? And in terms of the IT attacks that are going on in the current world, security is of prime essence. Security not just from the external agencies, but then security also from the internal guys, right? What if some people in my organization want to steal the data and give it to my competition? So my systems have to be robust enough. My system has to understand what are the roles that a person plays, and has to be given access only basis the role that he or she has in the organization. So these are the security systems. Scalability, a very simple example of a scalable solution, right? Let us take an example of an e-commerce company, say Flipkart or Amazon. Flipkart would have a trillion day sale. Now what happens is, generally on a normal day, a normal working day, Flipkart would have say 100 customers, just an example, 100 customers accessing the Flipkart site. But on a trillion day sale, Flipkart would have say 10,000 customers who would access their site. Now there is a difference, right? What has happened is there has been a multifold increase in the number of users. So my backend system have to be geared up to actually take up this load, or else it creates a really sad experience in the minds of a customer, and then a customer will just move away, right? So the system has to be scalable. And everything boils down to cost, right? We are all humans at the end of the day. We see cost as a major component. Yes, we are all customer aligned. The customer is the king, as they call it. So it's all customer focused, but then cost is a real, it has a real impact on the overall scheme of things, right? So the typical concepts or the important characteristics of an enterprise solution are a well-architected system, security, which is of key essence, has to be really scalable and has to come at a good cost. The system has to be easily manageable so that the management becomes easy, If I have to integrate some different systems, a new vendor into my system, it has to be easily manageable. And it has to be portable so that it can change to the changing technology landscape. Say the earlier systems were all static based, but now with say the machine learning and the artificial intelligence coming into picture, I have some advanced systems which help me to understand the consumer behavior. And if I can build those systems in my IT landscape, then I guess I have a real edge over my competition. Integration I spoke about, and the different transaction management. So the system has to be capable to get integrated with the different means of getting a transaction done. It could be in terms of integrating with the payment gateways, or it could be in terms of getting integrated with the different finance modules, right? Okay, load balancing. Let me take you to the Flipkart example. What does load balancing really mean? If I have say 5 different servers, each giving me a front end page of flipkart.com, then these 5 different servers have to be used, correct? Now, who ensures that all the servers are used? That is the primary responsibility of a load balancer. As the name suggests, the load gets equally divided in those 5 different instances, right? So, and the load balancers are used all across. So, starting from your web, where the user request is hit, to the database and to the application. When the load hits the server, it's called as the server load balancer. At the front end, it's called as the link load balancer. The next is the failure and the recovery management. I spoke about disaster recovery, correct? So disaster recovery is nothing but a place where my backup copy of the data center is stored. So there are 2 key terms called as the RTO and RPO, that is a recovery time objective and the recovery point objective. So just in a nutshell, what it means is that if due to any reason my primary data is unavailable or my primary systems go down, by what time can those primary systems come up so that the customer is not impacted, my transactions are not impacted. So that is the failure and the recovery management. So, in a nutshell, when you have to choose an enterprise solution, all these facets that we spoke about, a well-architected framework, security solutions, load balancers, scalability, cost, everything has to be properly considered when a solution is designed. Together with an enterprise solution, enterprise information system of a defined practice for conducting enterprise analysis, planning, design, implementation is also successful and is also needed for the enterprise solution to be a real key, right? And there are different strategies to actually plan how the information architecture is designed. So these practices include the various aspects of an enterprise to identify and guide them through what their end results are. And then lead the transformation of the strategy to meet those demands, right? So the MIT Center for Information Research defined enterprise architecture as a specific aspect of a business that are under examination. Enterprise architecture is the organization logic for business processes and IT infrastructure, reflecting the integration and standardization requirements of the company operating model. The operating model is the desired stage of business process integration and business process standardization for delivering the goods and services to the customer. Okay, what does this really mean? It's very simple. All the different processes have to be really integrated for the enterprise architecture to be a hit. Right? I spoke about Gartner, right? And Gartner is a leading IT analyst firm. It defines the term as a discipline where an enterprise is led through the change. Now, this change is through the change in which the platform is provided for the different functions to interact and work together as a cohesive unit. According to the Gartner's glossary, enterprise architecture or EA is a discipline for proactively and holistically leading enterprise responses to disruptive forces by identifying and analyzing the execution of change towards desired business outcomes. Right? EA delivers the business value to the IT leaders with the recommendations for adjusting the policies and projects to deliver the target-based outcomes. This is according to Gartner, right? Now, what it really means is that, and we've discussed it, right? That the different policies have to come together. And a very important point that is made here is about the disruption. Now, when you see a market disruption that is happening, the system should be capable enough to incorporate those in the IT landscape so that the end user gets really benefited. Just to give you an example, say if there is a new generation of phone that is launched in the market, so then the system should be capable enough to know the user behavior, the user emotions, and ensure that those are really captured. So if the phone is not doing really well, it has got a lot of negative reviews, then ensure that that particular advertisements of that phone do not feature at a very high level on the website. So these are the kind of disruptive technologies, say the user-based behavior that are there in the market, but they have to be incorporated when we talk about the disruptive technologies. Okay, so the three key aspects of enterprise solution, one is the architecting. We spoke about the different way through which the system has to get architected. Second is the integration with the legacy systems, if there are any, or integration with the vendors, the partners, the customers. And third is the ecological adaption, how the system gets adapted to the current business environment. And these are the three real key of any enterprise solution. Okay, so we spoke about the key aspects of the enterprise solutions. These are the IT architecting, architecture, integration, and the ecological adaptation. So let us understand them in a little detail. We spoke about the enterprise architecting is a greater alignment between IT and the business. Whereas the integration really means is that the different functions of the business are really integrated with the solution. Just to give you an example, say if I have a core banking application, that means my customer is really aligned with the database. The database is really aligned with the financial health of my organization, the loans, etc., etc., etc. Right? So this integration can also mean for a manufacturing company, as in if I have to get integrated with my dealer, or if I have to get integrated with my distributor, or if I have to get integrated with my partners who are supplying raw material to me. So these are the kind of integration that are needed in enterprise solution. Ecological adaption really means that you have to evolve your solution as per the business need. The learning capability of a organization should not just be limited by what was there and how it was being served, but then you have to really look at the changing demand of the customers, the users, and then incorporate that. Okay, now in this section we'll try to briefly identify and describe the multiple software and the packages that are used in a solution, and we will just have a very high level view about these, because these keep on changing, and I will then take you into depth about what each and every component really means, right? So let us start this journey by having a look at the different ERP solutions, because ERP form a heart of any kind of enterprise solution. We spoke about a manufacturing company, right? For a manufacturing company, say for example again Tata Motors or our friends in Maruti, you need a robust ERP package. Now, does Tata Motors or Maruti Suzuki come under the SMB umbrella or the mid-market? No, right? They are large enterprise. So they would need the likes of a very large giant called as the SAP or the Oracle to run their systems. Now, the way SAP would have done it for these companies would be they would have integrated each and every process when this final product is given to them. Say material planning, shop floor, inventory management, demand, demand scheduling, demand forecasting, the different finance modules. So SAP interestingly has called something called as the SAP R3. It's basically a kind of deployment methodology, and it is again a little old. Now what is there in the market is with SAP, there's something called as HANA, H-A-N-A. So you would say HANA, is it HA or NA? It is, but yes, it is called as SAP HANA, and that is the future of SAP when they roll out their systems. In terms of a bank, right? We just touched upon what a banking solution would really mean. So on top of the IT infrastructure, the key things for a bank is their customers. Yeah, you got it right. So the moment, if say I am the owner of a particular bank, if just imagine a situation, if all my customer database is wiped off, what would I do? I have no option but then to file for bankruptcy, correct? So for a bank, the core banking system or the core banking package is of utmost importance to me. It would include my customer database. It would include a history of all the transactions. It would include the different functions of a bank, right? So say for example, fixed deposits, loans, etc., etc. The credit card history, debit card. So everything goes in a core banking software. For an insurance company, again, you would have customized packages for insurance, right? So say if I have a health insurance, then to just measure that how many times have I claimed my health insurance, what is my age, basis the user analytics, what is the probability that basis the previous track record, this person is still going to get a health treatment done. So these are the different facets that are considered in a software package for different industries. Now, what we are doing here is that we're just having a look at how the softwares differ from industry to industry. Say a retail chain, right? A retail chain would have a different software. He would have a very strong focus on inventory. Why inventory? Because just imagine a situation, you walk into a DMart or a Star Bazaar or a Hypercity, or a big bazaar, and you don't get your set of groceries, so then you will not return to that store again, right? So inventory management becomes utmost important for a retailer. For an insurance company, user analytics and the customizable user programs become important. For a bank, again, the customer database is of utmost importance. For say a manufacturing company or automotive, it becomes important to have a look at the demand generation, the supply management, right? So these are the different ways in which softwares are catered to and how they form an important part of the overall scheme of things. So there is no one size that fits all, and it's across all different functions. So even when we design a ERP solution for a particular organization, the nature of the business, it's important, and the size of the business, it's important, and then it boils down to what the different business model of that organization would be. So if I have to integrate with some third party systems, someone might not want to do that, right? So then it makes a difference to the designer as to how the system has to be designed. Some of the other functions that are covered as a part of the enterprise solutions are listed below, right? So say for example, there is HRMS. HRMS is nothing but a human resource management system. All companies would use it. Companies like big IT companies, small companies, everyone will have the HRMS systems. HRMS are the payroll systems, employee onboarding. Then there is financial accounting. A big example is Oracle Finance or the PeopleSoft. PeopleSoft is a company which was acquired by Oracle. CRM. We spoke about how the customer database is really important to a bank, right? Even for a telecom company, the customer is the king, right? The moment you try to switch your network from a provider one to provider two, he'll give you a call saying that, no, we've got the best systems, we've got the best network, So don't move away from us. So that is the power of the CRM, that is the customer relationship management. SCM, it's a key when we talk about manufacturing companies or when we talk about FMCG companies. So just imagine companies like Unilever, Dabur, who have a very strong logistics and the SCM teams to actually negotiate the contracts with the suppliers, the vendors, and logistics is to help them to deliver it to the end customers. The supplier relationship management, again, it's a key for, say, a manufacturing company or a retail business. And Oracle is a leader in providing solutions around those. Enterprise content management. Just help me understand who would need that. I think you got it right. So a lot of OTT players in the market. Now, content is flowing all across, right? So say if I have to access some content on Netflix, or if I have to access some content on Amazon Prime or Hotstar, then content management forms a key part of it. And then there are other certain middleware and the service bus architecture. So these are typically the middleware systems, not the front-ending systems. And then there are workflow management systems. So how typically each of the function would interact, which function will come first, how the data has to be processed to the second level. So these are all the part of the enterprise workflow. Oracle provides solution around those. And then there is data management. So data, as we all know, is the key, right? So how do you really manage the data? And then there are certain tools to actually do some kind of data warehousing. Now, what data warehousing means is that there is a lot of data, right? How do I make sense of that data? If I have to run some kind of algorithms to understand the user behavior from that data and how I can monetize that data, that is really important to a company.